in the bedrock, in the skittering things crawling on it, like ink dropped in water. Cassian instantly went on alert as I scanned the river, the banks on either side. "What the hell is that?" he murmured. He tapped the siphon on each hand with a finger. I gaped as scaled black armor began unfolding and slithering up his wrists, his arms, replacing the tunic that had been there. Layer after layer, coating him like a second skin flowing up to his shoulders. The additional siphons appeared, and more armor spread across his neck, his shoulders, down his chest and waist. I blinked, and it had covered his legs, then his feet. The sky was cloudless, the streets full of chatter and life. Cassian kept scanning, a slow rotation over Valaris. The river beneath me remained steady, but I could feel it roiling, as if trying to flee from... "From the sea," I breathed. Cassian's gaze shot straight ahead, to the river before us, to the towering cliffs in the distance that marked the raging waves where it met the ocean. And there, on the horizon, a smear of black, swift moving, spreading wider as it grew closer. "Tell me those are birds," I said. My power flooded my veins, and I curled my fingers into fists, willing it to calm, to steady.
"There's no Illyrian patrol that's supposed to know about this place," he said, as if it were an answer. His gaze cut to me. "We're going back to the townhouse right now."
The smear of black separated, fracturing into countless figures. Too big for birds. Far too big. I said, "You have to sound the alarm."
But people were. Some were pointing, some were shouting.
Cassian reached for me, but I jumped back. Ice danced at my fingertips. Wind howled in my blood. I'd pick them off one by one. "Get Azrael and Amryn." They'd reached the sea cliffs. Countless, long-limbed flying creatures, some bearing soldiers in their arms. An invading host. "Cassian?" But an Illyrian blade had appeared in Cassian's hand, twin to the one across his back. A fighting knife now shone in the other. He held them both out to me.
"Get back to the townhouse, right now."
I most certainly would not go. If they were flying, I could use my power to my advantage. Freeze their wings, burn them, break them. Even if there were so many, even if... So fast, as if they were carried on a fell wind, the forces reached the outer edges of the city, and unleashed arrows upon the shrieking people rushing for cover in the streets. I grabbed his outstretched weapons, the cool metal hilts hissing beneath my forge-hot palms. Cassian lifted his hands into the air. Red light exploded from his siphon, blasting up and away, forming a hard wall in the sky above the city, directly in the path of that oncoming force. He ground his teeth, grunting as the winged legion slammed into his shield, as if he felt every impact. The translucent red shield shoved out farther, knocking them back. We both watched in mute horror as the creatures lunged for the shield, arms out. They were not just any manner of fairy. Any rising magic in me sputtered and went out at the sight of them. They were all like the adder. All long-limbed, gray-skinned, with serpentine snouts and razor-sharp teeth. And as the legion of its ilk punched through Cassian's shield as if it were a cobweb, I beheld on their spindly gray arms gauntlets of that bluish stone I'd seen on Rhys, glimmering in the sun. Stone that broke and repelled magic, straight from the unholy trove of the King of Highburn. One after one after one, they punched through the shield. Cassian sent another wall barreling for them. Some of the creatures peeled away and launched themselves upon the outskirts of the city, vulnerable outside of his shield. The heat that had been building in my palms faded to clammy sweat. People were shrieking, fleeing, and I knew his shields would not hold.
Go!
Cassian roared. I lurched into motion, knowing he likely lingered because I stayed, that he needed Azrael and Amren and... High above us, three of them slammed into the dome of the red shield, clawing at it, ripping through layer after layer with those stone gauntlets. That's what had delayed the king these months, gathering his arsenal. Weapons to fight magic, to fight High Fae who would rely on it. A hole ripped open, and Cassian threw me to the ground, shoving me against the marble railing, his wings spreading wide over me, his legs as solid as the bands of carved rock at my back. Screams on the bridge, hissing laughter, and then... a wet, crunching thud.
Shit, Cassian said. Shit!
He moved a step, and I lunged from under him to see what it was, who it was. Blood shone on the white marble bridge, sparkling like rubies in the sun. There, on one of those towering, elegant lampposts flanking the bridge. Her body was bent, her back arched on the impact, as if she were in the throes of passion. Her golden hair had been shorn to the skull, her golden eyes had been plucked out. She was twitching where she had been impaled on the post, the metal pole straight through her slim torso, gore clinging to the metal above her. Someone on the bridge vomited, then kept running. But I could not break my stare from the Golden Queen, or from the Atter, who swept through the hole it had made and alighted atop the blood-soaked lamppost.
"Regards," it hissed, "of the mortal queens, and Jurian."
Then the Atter leaped into flight, fast and sleek, heading right for the theater district we'd left. Cassian had pressed me back down against the bridge, and he surged toward the Atter. He halted, remembering me, but I rasped, "Go!
Run home, now!"
That was the final order, and his goodbye as he shot into the sky after the Atter, who had already disappeared into the screaming streets. Around me, hole after hole was punched through that red shield, those winged creatures pouring in, dumping the Hybern soldiers they had carried across the sea. Soldiers of every shape and size. Lesser fairies. The Golden Queen's gaping mouth was opening and closing like a fish on land. Save her. Help her. My blood. I took a step. Her body slumped. And from wherever in me that power originated, I felt her death whisper past. The screams, the beating wings, the whoosh and thud of arrows erupted in the sudden silence. I ran. I ran for my side of the Sidra, for the townhouse. I didn't trust myself to winnow. Could barely think around the panic barking through my head. I had minutes, perhaps, before they hit my street. Minutes to get there and bring as many inside with me as I could. The house was warded. No one would get in, not even these things. Fairies were rushing past, racing for shelter, for friends and family. I hit the end of the bridge, the steep hills rising up. Hybern soldiers were already atop the hill, at the two palaces, laughing at the screams, the pleadings as they broke into buildings, dragging people out. Blood dribbled down the cobblestones in little rivers. They had done this. Those queens had given this city of art and music and food over to these monsters. The king must have used the cauldron to break its wards. A thunderous boom rocked the other side of the city, and I went down at the impact, blades flying, hands ripping open on the cobblestones. I whirled toward the river, scrambling up, lunging for my weapons. Cassian and Azrael were both in the skies now, and where they flew, those winged creatures died. Arrows of red and blue light shot from them, and those shields, twin shields of red and blue, merged, sizzling, and slammed into the rest of the aerial forces. Flesh and wings tore, bone melted. until hands encased in stone tumbled from the sky. Only hands. Clattering on rooftops, splashing into the river. All that was left of them. What two Illyrian warriors had worked their way around. But there were countless more who had already landed. Too many. Roofs were wrenched apart, doors shattered, screaming rising, and then silenced. This was not an attack to sack the city. It was an extermination. And rising up before me, merely a few blocks down, the rainbow of Valaris was bathed in blood. The Atter and his ilk had converged there. As if the queens had told him where to strike. Where in Valaris would be the most defenseless, the beating heart of the city. Fire was rippling, black smoke staining the sky. Where was Rhys? Where was my mate? Across the river, thunder boomed again. And it was not Cassian or Azrael who held the other side of the river, but Amren. Her slim hands had only to point, and soldiers would fall as if their own wings failed them. They slammed into the streets, thrashing, choking, clawing, shrieking, just as the people of Valaris had shrieked. I whipped my head to the rainbow a few blocks away, left unprotected, defenseless. The street before me was clear, the lone safe passage through hell. A female screamed inside the artist's quarter, and I knew my path. I flipped my Illyrian blade in my hand and winnowed into the burning and bloody rainbow. This was my home. These were my people. If I died defending them, defending that small place in the world where art thrived, then so be it. And I became darkness and shadow and wind. I winnowed into the edge of the rainbow as the first of the Hybern soldiers rounded its farthest corner, spilling onto the river avenue, shredding the cafes where I had lounged and laughed. They did not see me until I was upon them. Until my Illyrian blade cleaved through their heads one after another. Six went down in my wake, and as I halted at the foot of the rainbow, staring up into the fire and blood and death, too many soldiers. I'd never make it, never kill them all. But there was a young female, green-skinned and lithe, an ancient, rusted bit of pipe raised above her shoulder, standing her ground in front of her storefront, a gallery. People crouched inside the shop were sobbing. Before them, laughing at the fairy, at her raised scrap of metal, circled five-winged soldiers, playing with her, taunting her. Still she held the line. Still her face did not crumple. Paintings and pottery were shattered around her, and more soldiers were landing, spilling down, butchering. Across the river, thunder boomed. Amren or Cassian or Azrael? I didn't know. The river. Three soldiers spotted me from up the hill, raced for me. But I ran faster, back for the river at the foot of the hill, for the singing Sidra. I hit the edge of the quay, the water already stained with blood, and slammed my foot down in a mighty stomp. And as if in answer, the Sidra rose. I yielded to that thrumming power inside my bones and blood and breath. I became the Sidra, ancient and deep, and I bent it to my will. I lifted my blades, willing the river higher, shaping it, forging it. Those Hybern soldiers stopped dead in their tracks as I turned toward them, and wolves of water broke from behind me. The soldiers whirled, fleeing, but my wolves were faster, I was faster as I ran with them in the heart of the pack. Wolf after wolf roared out of the Sidra, as colossal as the one I had once killed, pouring into the streets, racing upward. I made it five steps before the pack was upon the soldiers taunting the shop owner. I made it seven steps before the wolves brought them down, water shoving down their throats, drowning them. I reached the soldiers, and my blade sang as I severed their choking heads from their bodies. The shopkeeper was sobbing as she recognized me, her rusted bar still raised. But she nodded, only once. I ran again, losing myself amongst my water wolves. Some of the soldiers were taking to the sky, flapping upward, backtracking. So my wolves grew wings and talons and became falcons and hawks and eagles. They slammed into their bodies, their armor drenching them. The airborne soldiers, realizing they hadn't been drowned, halted their flight and laughed, sneering. I lifted a hand skyward and clenched my fingers into a fist. The water soaking them, their wings, their armor, their faces, it turned to ice. Ice that was so cold that it existed before light, before the sun had warmed the earth. Ice of a land cloaked in winter. Ice from the parts of me that felt no mercy, no sympathy for what these creatures had done and were doing to my people. Frozen solid, dozens of the winged soldiers fell to the earth as one and shattered upon the cobblestones. My wolves raged around me, tearing and drowning and hunting. And those that fled them, those that took to the skies, they froze and shattered, until the streets were laden with ice and gore and broken bits of wing and stone. Until the screaming of my people stopped, and the screams of the soldiers became a song in my blood. One of the soldiers rose above the brightly painted buildings. I knew him. The adder was flapping, frantic, blood of the innocent coating his gray skin, his stone gauntlets. I sent an eagle of water shooting for him, but he was quicker, nimble. He evaded my eagle and my hawk and my falcon soaring high, clawing his way through the air, away from me, my power, from Cassian and Azrael, holding the river and the majority of the city, away from Amryn, using whatever dark power she possessed to send so many droves of them crashing down without visible injury. None of my friends saw the adder sailing up, sailing free. It would fly back to Highburn, to the king. It had chosen to come here to lead them, for spite, and I had no doubt that the golden lioness queen had suffered at its hands. As Claire had.
Where are you?
Rhys's voice sounded distantly in my head, through the sliver in my shield.
Where are you?
The adder was getting away. With each heartbeat it flew higher and higher.
Where?
I sheathed the Illyrian blade and fighting knife through my belt and scrambled to pick up the arrows that had fallen on the streets. Shot at my people.
Ash arrows coated in familiar greenish poison.
Bloodbane.
I'm exactly where I need to be, I said to Rhys. And then I winnowed into the sky.
Chapter 59. I winnowed to a nearby rooftop, an ash arrow clenched in either hand, scanning where the adder was high above, flapping.
Feyre!
I slammed a mental shield of adamant up against that voice, against him. Not now, not this moment. I could vaguely feel him pounding against that shield, roaring at it, but even he could not get in. The adder was mine. In the distance, rushing toward me, toward Valaris, a mighty darkness devoured the world. Soldiers in its path did not emerge again. My mate, death incarnate, night triumphant. I spotted the adder again, veering toward the sea, toward Highburn, still over the city. I winnowed, throwing my awareness toward it like a net, spearing mind to mind, using the tether like a rope, leading me through time and distance and wind. I latched onto the oily smear of its malice, pinpointing my being, my focus onto the core of it, a beacon of corruption and filth. When I emerged from wind and shadow, I was right atop the adder. It shrieked, wings curving as I slammed into it,
as I plunged those poisoned ash arrows through each wing, right through the main muscle. The adder arched in pain, its forked tongue cleaving the air between us. The city was a blur below, the Sidra a mere stream from the height. In the span of a heartbeat, I wrapped myself around the adder. I became a living flame that burned everywhere I touched, became unbreakable as the adamant wall inside my mind. Shrieking, the adder thrashed against me, but its wings, with those arrows, with my grip. Free fall. Down into the world, into blood and pain, the wind tore at us. The adder could not break free of my flaming grasp, or from my poisoned arrows skewering its wings, laming him. Its burning skin stung my nose. As we fell, my dagger found its way into my hand. The darkness consuming the horizon shot closer, as if spotting me. Not yet. Not yet. I angled my dagger over the adder's bony, elongated ribcage. "This is for Rhys," I hissed in its pointed ear. The reverberation of steel on bone barked into my head. Silvery blood warmed my fingers. The adder screamed. I yanked out my dagger, blood flying up, splattering my face. "This is for Claire." I plunged my blade in again, twisting. Buildings took form. The Sidra ran red, but the sky was empty. Free of soldiers, so were the streets. The adder was screaming and hissing, cursing and begging as I ripped free the blade. I could make out people, make out their shapes. The ground swelled up to meet us. The adder was bucking so violently that it was all I could do to keep it in my forge-hot grip. Burning skin ripped away, carried above us. "And this," I breathed, leaning close to say the words into its ear, into its rotted soul. I slid my dagger in a third time, relishing the splintering of bones and flesh. "This is for me." I could count the cobblestones, see death beckoning with open arms. I kept my mouth beside its ear, close as a lover, as our reflection in a pool of blood became clear. "I'll see you in hell," I whispered, and left my blade in its side. Wind rippled the blood upon the cobblestones mere inches away, and I winnowed out, leaving the adder behind. I heard the crack and splatter, even as I shifted through the world, propelled by my own power and the velocity of my plummet. I emerged a few feet away, my body taking longer than my mind to catch up. My feet and legs gave out, and I rocked back into the wall of a pink-painted building behind me, so hard the plaster dented and cracked against my spine, my shoulders. I panted, trembling. And on the streets ahead, what lay broken and oozing on the cobblestones, the adder's wings were a twisted ruin. Behind that, scraps of armor, splintered bone, and burned flesh were all that remained. That wave of darkness, Rhysand's power, at last hit my side of the river. No one cried out at the star-flecked cascade of night that cut off all light. I thought I heard vague grunting and scraping, as if it had sought out hidden soldiers lingering in the rainbow, but then the wave vanished. Sunlight. A crunch of boots before me, the beat and whisper of mighty wings. A hand on my face, tilting up my chin as I stared and stared at the splattered ruin of the adder. Violet eyes met mine. Rhys. Rhys was here. And I had... He leaned forward, his brow sweat-coated, his breathing uneven. He gently pressed a kiss to my mouth. To remind us both who we were, what we were. My icy heart thawed. The fire in my gut was soothed by a tendril of dark,
and the water trickled out of my veins and back into the Sidra. Rhys pulled back, his thumb stroking my cheek. People were weeping, keening. But no more screams of terror, no more bloodshed and destruction. My mate murmured,
"Feyre Cursebreaker, the defender of the rainbow."
I slid my arms around his waist and sobbed. And even as his city wailed, the High Lord of the Night Court held me until I could at last face this blood-drenched new world. Chapter 60
"Valaris is secure," Rhys said in the black hours of the night. "The wards the cauldron took out have been remade."
We had not stopped to rest until now. For hours we'd worked, along with the rest of the city, to heal, to patch up, to hunt down answers any way we could. And now we were all again gathered, the clock chiming 3 a.m. I didn't know how Rhys was standing as he leaned against the mantel in the sitting room. I was near limp on the couch beside Moore, both of us coated in dirt and blood, like the rest of them. Sprawled in an armchair built for Illyrian wings, Cassian's face was battered and healing slowly enough that I knew he'd drained his power during those long minutes when he'd defended the city alone. But his hazel eyes still glowed with the embers of rage. Amryn was hardly better off. The tiny female's gray clothes hung mostly in strips, her skin beneath pale as snow. Half asleep on the couch across from mine, she leaned against Azrael, who kept casting alarmed glances at her, even as his own wounds leaked a bit. Atop his scarred hands, Azrael's blue siphons were dull, muted, utterly empty. As I had helped the survivors in the rainbow tend to their wounded, count their dead, and begin repairs, Rhys had checked in every now and then while he'd rebuilt the wards with whatever power lingered in his arsenal. During one of our brief breaks, he'd told me what Amryn had done on her side of the river. With her dark power, she had spun illusions straight into the soldiers' minds. They believed they had fallen into the Sidra and were drowning. They believed they were flying 1,000 feet above and had dived, fast and swift, for the city, only to find the street mere feet away and the crunch of their skulls. The crueler ones, the wickedest ones, she had unleashed their own nightmares upon them, until they died from terror, their hearts giving out. Some had fallen into the river, drinking their own spreading blood as they drowned. Some had disappeared wholly.
"Valaris might be secure," Cassian replied, not even bothering to lift his head from where it rested against the back of the chair. "But for how long? Highburn knows about this place, thanks to those worm queens. Who else will they sell the information to? How long until the other courts come sniffing? Or Highburn uses that cauldron again to take down our defenses?"
Rhys closed his eyes, his shoulders tight. I could already see the weight pushing down on that dark head. I hated to add to that burden, but I said, "If we all go to Highburn to destroy the cauldron, who will defend the city?" Silence. Rhys's throat bobbed. Amryn said, "I'll stay." Cassian opened his mouth to object, but Rhys slowly looked at his second. Amryn held his gaze as she added, "If Rhys must go to Highburn, then I am the only one of you who might hold the city until help arrives. Today was a surprise. A bad one. When you leave, we will be better prepared. The new wards we built today will not fall so easily." Moore loosed a sigh.
"So what do we do now?"
Amryn simply said, "We sleep. We eat." And it was Azrael who added, his voice raw with the aftermath of battle rage,
"And then we retaliate.
Rhys did not come to bed. And when I emerged from the bath, the water clouded with dirt and blood, he was nowhere to be found. But I felt for the bond between us and trudged upstairs, my stiff legs barking in pain. He was sitting on the roof, in the dark. His great wings were spread behind him, draped over the tiles. I slid into his lap, looping my arms around his neck. He stared at the city around us.
So few lights. So few lights left tonight.
I did not look. I only traced the outlines of his face, then brushed my thumb over his mouth. It is not your fault, I said quietly. His eyes shifted to mine, barely visible in the dark.
Isn't it? I handed this city over to them. I said I would be willing to risk it, but I don't know who I hate more, the king, those queens, or myself.
I brushed the hair out of his face. He gripped my hand, halting my fingers.
You shut me out, he breathed. You shielded against me, completely. I couldn't find a way in.
I'm sorry. Rhys let out a bitter laugh.
Sorry? Be impressed. That shield, what you did to the Adder.
He shook his head.
You could have been killed.
Are you going to scold me for it? His brows furrowed. Then he buried his face in my shoulder.
How could I scold you for defending my people? I want to throttle you, yes, for not going back to the townhouse, but you chose to fight for them, for Valaris.
He kissed my neck.
I don't deserve you.
My heart strained. He meant it, truly felt that way. I stroked his hair again, and I said to him, the words the only sound in the silent, dark city. We deserve each other, and we deserve to be happy. Rhys shuddered against me, and when his lips found mine, I let him lay me down upon the roof tiles and make love to me under the stars. Amryn cracked the code the next afternoon. The news was not good. To nullify the cauldron's power, she said by way of greeting, as we crowded around the dining table in the townhouse, having rushed in from the repairs we'd all been making on very little sleep. You must touch the cauldron and speak these words. She had written them all down for me on a piece of paper.
You know this for certain? Rhys said.
He was still bleak-eyed from the attack, from healing and helping his people all day.
Amryn hissed. I'm trying not to be insulted, Rhysand.
Moore elbowed her way between them, staring at the two assembled pieces of the Book of Breathings. What happens if we put both halves together?
Don't put them together, Amryn simply said.
With either piece laid out, their voices blended and sang and hissed, evil and good and madness, dark and light and chaos.
You put the pieces together, she clarified when Rhys gave her a questioning look, and the blast of power will be felt in every corner and hole in the earth. You won't just attract the King of Highburn, you'll draw enemies far older and more wretched. Things that have been asleep and should remain so.
I cringed a bit. Rhys put a hand on my back.
Then we move in now, Cassian said.
His face had healed, but he limped a bit from an injury I couldn't see beneath his fighting leathers. He jerked his chin to Rhys.
Since you can't winnow without being tracked, Moore and Az will winnow us all in. Feyre breaks the cauldron, and we get out. We'll be there and gone before anyone notices, and the King of Highburn will have a new piece of cookware.
I swallowed. It could be anywhere in his castle.
We know where it is, Cassian countered.
I blinked. Azrael said to me,
We've been able to narrow it down to the lower levels.
Through his spying, they're planning for this trip all these months.
Every inch of the castle and surrounding lands is heavily guarded, but not impossible to get through. We've worked out the timing of it. For a small group of us to get in and out, quick and silent, and be gone before they know what's happening.
Moore said to him, But the King of Hybern could notice Rhys's presence the moment he arrives, and if Feyre needs time to nullify the cauldron and we don't know how much time, that's a risky variable. Cassian said,
We've considered that. So you and Rhys will winnow us in off the coast. We fly in while he stays.
They'd have to winnow me, I realized, since I had still not yet mastered doing it over long distances. At least, not without many stops in between.
As for the spell, Cassian continued, it's a risk we'll have to take.
Silence fell as they waited for Rhys's answer. My mate scanned my face, eyes wide. Asriel pushed,
It's a solid plan. The king doesn't know our sense. We wreck the cauldron and vanish before he notices. It'll be a graver insult than the bloodier, direct route we've been considering, Rhys. We beat them yesterday, so when we go into that castle...
Vengeance indeed danced in that normally placid face.
We'll leave a few reminders that we won the last damn war for a reason.
Cassian nodded grimly. Even Moore smiled a bit.
Are you asking me, Rhys finally said, far too calmly, to stay outside while my mate goes into his stronghold? Yes,
Asriel said with equal calm, Cassian shifting himself slightly between them.
If Feyre can't nullify the cauldron easily or quickly, we seal it. Send the pieces back to the bastard when we're done breaking it apart. Either way, Feyre calls you through the bond when we're done. You and Moore winnow us out. They won't be able to track you fast enough if you only come to retrieve us.
Rhysand dropped onto the couch beside me at last, loosing a breath. His eyes slid to me.
If you want to go, then you go, Feyre.
If I hadn't been already in love with him, I might have loved him for that. For not insisting I stay, even if it drove his instincts mad. For not locking me away in the aftermath of what had happened yesterday. And I realized how badly I'd been treated before, if my standards had become so low. If the freedom I'd been granted felt like a privilege and not an inherent right. Rhys's eyes darkened, and I knew he read what I thought, felt.
You might be my mate, he said, but you remain your own person. You decide your fate, your choices, not me. You chose yesterday. You choose every day, forever.
And maybe he only understood because he, too, had been helpless and without choices. Had been forced to do such horrible things and locked up. I threaded my fingers through his and squeezed. Together. Together we'd find our peace, our future. Together we'd fight for it. Let's go to Hybern, I said. I was halfway up the stairs an hour later when I realized that I still had no idea what room to go to. I'd gone to my bedroom since we'd returned from the cabin, but what of his? With Tamlin, he'd kept his own rooms and slept in mine. And I supposed it'd be the same. I was almost to my bedroom door when Rhysand drawled from behind me.
We can use your room if you like, but...
He was leaning against his own open bedroom door.
Either your room or mine. But we're sharing one from now on. Just tell me whether I should move my clothes or yours, if that's all right with you.
You don't want your own space?
No, he said baldly. Unless you do. I need you protecting me from our enemies with your water wolves.
I snorted. He'd made me tell him that part of my tale over and over. I jerked my chin toward his bedroom. Your bed is bigger. And that was that. I walked in to find my clothes already there, a second armoire now beside his. I stared at the massive bed, then at all the open space around us. Reese shut the door and went to a small box on the desk, then silently handed it to me. My heart thudded as I opened the lid. The star sapphire gleamed in the candlelight, as if it were one of the starfall spirits trapped in stone. Your mother's ring?
My mother gave me that ring to remind me she is always with me, even during the worst of my training. And when I reached my majority, she took it away. It was an heirloom of her family, had been handed down from female to female over many, many years. My sister wasn't yet born, so she wouldn't have known to give it to her, but my mother gave it to the weaver. And then she told me that if I were to marry or mate, then the female would either have to be smart or strong enough to get it back. And if the female wasn't either of those things, then she wouldn't survive the marriage. I promised my mother that any potential bride or mate would have the test. And so it sat there for centuries.
My face heated. You said this was something of value.
It is. To me and my family.
So my trip to the Weaver...
It was vital that we learn if you could detect those objects. But I picked the object out of pure selfishness.
So I won my wedding ring without even being asked if I wanted to marry you.
Perhaps.
I cocked my head. Do you want me to wear it?
Only if you want to.
When we go to Highburn, let's say things go badly. Will anyone be able to tell that we're mated? Could they use that against you?
Rage flickered in his eyes.
If they see us together and consent us both, they'll know.
And if I show up alone, wearing a night court wedding ring?
He snarled softly.
I closed the box, leaving the ring inside. After we nullify the cauldron, I want to do it all. Get the bond declared, get married, throw a stupid party and invite everyone in Valaris. All of it. Reese took the box from my hands and set it down on the nightstand before herding me toward the bed.
And if I want to go one step beyond that?
I'm listening, I purred as he laid me on the sheets.
Chapter 61
I'd never worn so much steel. Blades had been strapped all over me, hidden in my boots, my inside pockets. And then there was the Illyrian blade down my back. Just a few hours ago, I'd known such overwhelming happiness after such horror and sorrow. Just a few hours ago, I'd been in his arms while he made love to me. And now, Rhysand, my mate and High Lord and partner, stood beside me in the foyer, Mor and Azriel and Cassian armed and ready in their scale-like armor, all of us too quiet.
Amryn said, The King of Highburn is old, Rhys, very old. Do not linger.
A voice near my chest whispered, Hello, lovely, wicked liar. The two halves of the Book of Breathings, each part tucked into a different pocket. In one of them, the spell I was to say had been written out clearly. I hadn't dared speak it, though I had read it a dozen times.
We'll be in and out before you miss us, Rhysand said. Guard Valaris well.
Amryn studied my gloved hands and weapons.
That cauldron, she said, makes the book seem harmless.
If the spell fails or if you cannot move it, then leave.
I nodded. She surveyed us all again. Fly well.
I suppose that was as much concern as she'd show. We turned to Moore, whose arms were out, waiting for me. Cassian and Rhys would winnow with Azrael. My mate dropped off a few miles from the coast before the Illyrians found Moore and me seconds later. I moved toward her, but Rhys stepped in front of me, his face tense. I rose up on my toes and kissed him. I'll be fine. We'll all be fine. His eyes held mine through the kiss, and when I broke away, his gaze went right to Cassian. Cassian bowed.
With my life, High Lord. I'll protect her with my life.
Rhys looked to Azrael. He nodded, bowing, and said,
With both of our lives.
It was satisfactory enough to my mate, who at last looked at Moore. She nodded once, but said,
I know my orders. I wondered what those might be, why I hadn't been told, but she gripped my hand. Before I could say goodbye to Amren, we were gone. Gone and plunging through open air toward a night-dark sea. A warm body slammed into mine, catching me before I could panic and perhaps winnow myself somewhere else.
Easy, Cassian said, banking right. I looked below to see Moore still plummeting, then winnow again into nothing. No sign or glimmer of Rhys's presence near or behind us. A few yards ahead, Azrael was a swift shadow over the black water. Toward the landmass we were now approaching. Highburn. No lights burned on it, but it felt old. As if it were a spider that had been waiting in its web for a long, long time.
I've been here twice, Cassian murmured. Both times I was counting down the minutes until I could leave.
I could see why. A wall of bone-white cliffs arose, their tops flat and grassy, leading away to a terrain of sloping, barren hills, and an overwhelming sense of nothingness. Amarantha had slaughtered all her slaves rather than free them. She had been commander here, one of many.
If that force that had attacked Valaris was a vanguard, I swallowed, flexing my hands beneath my gloves.
That's his castle ahead, Cassian said through clenched teeth, swerving.
Around a bend in the coast, built into the cliffs and perched above the sea, was a lean, crumbling castle of white stone. Not imperious marble, not elegant limestone, but off-white, bone-colored. Perhaps a dozen spires clawed at the night sky, a few lights flickered in the windows and balconies. No one outside. No patrol. Where is everyone?
Guard shift.
They'd planned this around it.
There's a small sea door at the bottom. Moore will be waiting for us there. It's the closest entrance to the lower levels.
I'm assuming she can't winnow us in.
Too many wards to risk the time it'd cost for her to break through them. Rhys might be able to, but we'll meet him at the door on the way out.
My mouth went a bit dry. Over my heart, the book said, Home. Take me home. And indeed, I could feel it. With every foot we flew in, faster and faster, dipping down so the spray from the ocean chilled me to my bones, I could feel it. Ancient. Cruel. Without allegiance to anyone but itself. The cauldron. They needn't have bothered learning where it was held inside the castle. I had no doubt I'd be drawn right to it. I shuddered.
Easy,
Cassian said again. We swept in toward the base of the cliffs to the sea door before a platform. Moore was waiting, sword out, the door open. Cassian loosed a breath, but Azrael reached her first, landing swiftly and silently, and immediately prowled into the castle to scout the hall ahead. Moore waited for us, her eyes on Cassian as we landed. They didn't speak, but their glance was too long to be anything but casual. I wondered what their training, their honed senses, detected. The passage ahead was dark, silent. Azrael appeared a heartbeat later.
Guards are down.
There was blood on his knife, an ash knife. Az's cold eyes met mine.
Hurry.
I didn't need to focus to track the cauldron to its hiding place. It tugged on my every breath, hauling me to its dark embrace. Anytime we reached a crossroads, Cassian and Azrael would branch out, usually returning with bloodied blades, faces grim, silently warning me to hurry. They'd been working these weeks, through whatever sources Azrael had, to get this encounter down to an exact schedule. If I needed more time than they'd allotted, if the cauldron couldn't be moved, it might all be for nothing. But not these deaths. No, those I did not mind at all. These people had hurt Rhys. They'd brought tools with them to incapacitate him. They had sent that legion to wreck and butcher my city. I descended through an ancient dungeon, the stones dark and stained. Moore kept at my side, constantly monitoring the last line of defense. If Cassian and Azrael were hurt, I realized, she was to make sure I got out by whatever means, then return. But there was no one in the dungeon, not that I encountered once the Illyrians were done with them. They had executed this masterfully. We found another stairwell leading down, down, down. I pointed, nausea roiling.
There. It's down there.
Cassian took the stairs, Illyrian blade stained with dark blood. Neither Moore nor Azrael seemed to breathe until Cassian's low whistle bounced off the stairwell stones from below. Moore put a hand on my back, and we descended into the dark.
Home,
the Book of Breathing sighed.
Home.
Cassian was standing in a round chamber beneath the castle, a ball of fey light floating above his shoulder. And in the center of the room, atop a small dais, sat the cauldron. Chapter 62. The cauldron was absence and presence, darkness and whatever the darkness had come from. But not life, not joy or light or hope. It was perhaps the size of a bathtub, forged of dark iron, its three legs, those three legs the king had ransacked those temples to find, crafted like creeping branches covered in thorns. I had never seen something so hideous and alluring. Moore's face had drained of color.
Hurry, she said to me. We've got a few minutes.
Azrael scanned the room, the stairs we'd strode down, the cauldron, its legs. I made to approach the dais, but he extended an arm into my path.
Listen.
So we did. Not words, but a throbbing. Like blood pulsed through the room. Like the cauldron had a heartbeat. Like calls to like. I moved toward it. Moore was at my back, but didn't stop me as I stepped up onto the dais. Inside the cauldron was nothing but inky, swirling black. Perhaps the entire universe had come from it. Azrael and Cassian tensed as I laid a hand on the lip. Pain. Pain and ecstasy and power and weakness flowed into me. Everything that was and wasn't. Fire and ice, light and dark,
deluge and drought.
The map for creation.
Reeling back into myself, I readied to read that spell.
The paper trembled as I pulled it from my pocket, as my fingers brushed the half of the book inside.
Sweet-tongued liar, lady of many faces.
One hand on half of the Book of Breathings, the other on the cauldron, I took a step outside myself, a jolt passing through my blood as if I were no more than a lightning rod.
Yes, you see now, Princess of Carrion. You see what you must do.
Feyre, Moore murmured in warning. But my mouth was foreign. My lips might have well as been as far away as Valaris while the cauldron and the book flowed through me, communing.
The other one, the book hissed. Bring the other one. Let us be joined. Let us be free.
I slid the book from my pocket, tucking it into the crook of my arm as I tugged the second half.
Lovely girl. Beautiful bird. So sweet. So generous. Together, together, together.
Feyre. Moore's voice cut through the song of both halves.
Amryn had been wrong. Separate, their power was cleaved. Not enough to take on the abyss of the cauldron's might. But together?
Yes, together the spell would work when I spoke it.
Whole, I would become not a conduit between them, but rather their master.
There was no moving the cauldron. It had to be now. Realizing what I was about to do, Moore lunged for me with a curse. Too slow. I laid the second half of the book atop the other.
A silent ripple of power hollowed out my ears, buckled my bones. Then nothing.
From far away, Moore said, "We can't risk..."
"Give her a minute," Cassian cut her off.
I was the book and the cauldron, and sound and silence. I was a living river through which one flowed into the other, eddying and ebbing, over and over, a tide with no end or beginning.
The spell. The words.
I looked to the paper in my hand, but my eyes did not see. My lips did not move.
I was not a tool, not a pawn. I would not be a conduit, not be the lackey of these things. I'd memorized the spell. I would say it, breathe it, think it. From the pit of my memory, the first word formed. I slogged toward it, reaching for that one word that would be a tether back into myself, into who I was. Strong hands tugged me back, wrenching me away. Murky light and moldy stone poured into me, the room spinning as I gasped down breath, finding Azrael shaking me, eyes so wide I could see the white around them.
What had happened? What?
Steps sounded above. Azrael instantly shoved me behind him, bloody blade lifting.
The movement cleared my head enough to feel something wet and warm trickling down my chin. Blood. My nose had been bleeding. But those steps grew louder, and my friends had their weapons angled as a handsome brown-haired male swaggered down the steps.
Human. His ears were round. But his eyes? I knew the color of those eyes.
I'd stared at one, encased in crystal, for 3 months.
"Stupid fool," he said to me.
"Jorian," I breathed.
Chapter 63. I gauged the distance between my friends and Jurian, weighed my sword against the twin ones crossed over his back.
Cassian took a step toward the descending warrior and snarled, "You."
Jurian snickered.
"Worked your way up the ranks, did you? Congratulations."
I felt him sweep toward us. Like a ripple of night and wrath, Rhys appeared at my side.